this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. There's a lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you
live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Do you hear the wedding bells ringing?
No.
Do you hear AC/DC?
Definitely.
We should have started the day with Hell's Bells instead. That is where we missed.
Well, geez, that sounds like Not a good way to start a show where we have a wedding planned.
Wait, where we have what?
A wedding.
That's right. We broke the news on Twitter last night, in case you missed it. In case you're like, man, what are these guys talking about? Who? What? What wedding are they referring to? Well, let me tell you. Coming up on the show later today at 11:30 a.m., our good friend, our companion, our brother on this show, the Fish, Weston Brown, will be getting married live on the Blitz, on the airwaves, via phone from Colorado. You're probably thinking to yourself, no, he's not. This is not happening. In which I would tell you, yes, it is. And it is very real. It is much more real than you as the listener believe it is right now. Trust me.
What if they believe you?
Huh?
I mean, what if they believe you?
No, why would they not believe you? You don't lie to them.
Because I feel like that is just a ridiculous thing. To have somebody tell you that they're just going to have a wedding over the airwaves on a radio show,
but then
it's
when
not
you,
normal.
But then when you throw in the fact that it's Filet-O-Fish.
I think that makes it more believable, right?
Yes.
Much more. So what they did, Weston and his fiancée, Chastity, they flew to Colorado last week, and at some point over the weekend, or maybe at some point today, I'm not really sure, I'm going to be honest, they are going down to the government building in which you get eloped at. So that is happening, maybe as we speak right now.
I don't think it's you get eloped at.
Oh, you elope at?
You
just get your marriage.
You just get your
marriage license.
You're not going there to get eloped. Eloped is what you're doing. Is what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just
eloping is the action.
It's just when you get married and you don't have anyone around.
Yeah, you don't have like any friends or family around. And you just kind of do it. Sorry.
I've never gotten eloped.
We know this.
But I thought that wouldn't be the use of the word.
Now, eloping is the action. They're at the building or whatever, like Brandon said, getting their certificate, making it legal. You're going to do the ceremony.
Okay,
they're
yes.
making it legal.
So that's what it is. So they're going to get it official right
anytime,
now.
Anytime you get married, you get your certificate before the wedding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing. They're going to get the document signed. They're going to cross the T's and dot the I's. But we decided that, hey, if they're not going to have a marriage ceremony, then we would take it upon ourselves to do it for them, in which we would give them the full speech, the full ceremony, the full nine yards. So that is what we will do. We have it all planned. We will have both Weston and his fiance, potentially now wife. Again, we don't really know. We kind of lost communication with Weston at some point in the weekend. Don't know what happened to him. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, he might have got lost in the Rockies. Who knows?
That's kind of what I'm thinking here. So that is the plan as of right now. We will have a legitimate, a real-life wedding ceremony on the radio waves later today. How about that for a Monday? How about that for a Monday? We can't get any better than that. So if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you there. I feel like this is the peak. This is the peak of weird things we do non-sports related. We're doing a wedding. We're doing a real-life wedding.
This is the peak?
Of non-sports stuff in terms of weird things that you can get into?
I mean, I feel like so far, but I mean, who knows what's in store? I mean, you never know.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, I never even thought this would be a possibility. But hey, that is coming up later today. You won't want to miss it. You are all invited. Your friends, you can have as many plus ones, plus twos, plus threes as you want to. Bring them all. Refreshments and snacks are on yourself. We will not be providing those. Don't act like I have a budget here. But we invite you to the wedding of the Fish and Mrs. Fish later today at 11:30. Other than that, though, I guess sports, right?
Yeah.
That's typically the main part of the show.
Yeah, main, usually.
Typically. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes things get weird. But huge weekend in sports all around. Tennessee has a bye week, but that does not mean that all of Tennessee teams were at home. The basketball team goes out there, beats a top 25 team fairly handily. Brandon, the team goes to Canada, they get a win, and then they leave Canada immediately. I mean, that's the perfect situation for you, right?
Yeah, we went up there to that terrible, terrible city, Toronto. Actually, I don't know. Never been. Might be pretty nice. But you go up to Canada, you kick Washington's ass. I mean, made them like it. The offense was okay, but the defense played really well. You were able to kind of shut them down and keep them from doing what they wanted to do. And you come out of there with a win. You beat a top 25 team on a neutral site by double digits. It's going to be good for your net ranking come tournament time. So, I mean, all in all, I don't think you could ask for a better outcome.
Well, and I saw this on Twitter too, but that was one of the most kind of relaxing wins over a top 25 team we've had in a while.
I mean, you kind of controlled it from start to finish. They made a run here and there, but I mean, really, you were kind of in control the whole game. They cut it to, I mean, it was double digits most of the game, and then they would cut it to, I think one time they might have cut it to five or six.
Yeah.
But other than that, that was really the only time that they even threatened.
But even then, like when they did get only a couple points away, it was so much more of a matter of Tennessee was still hitting good shots. Or excuse me, they were still taking good shots. They just weren't falling those times. And so it was never really a situation where you were kind of like, man, what is Tennessee's offense doing? Why can these players just not kind of get on the same page? No, it was just, hey, Tennessee's still getting open. We'll hit those shots in a minute, even if they just aren't going down right now. The game in itself really was never stressful. Tennessee played a very strong game the whole way through. Honestly, the most stressful part of the whole thing was trying to figure out how to watch the game.
That's very true.
Because of the paid subscription thing. I mean, like, I spent the whole first half, and honestly, most of the second half, just texting back and forth with my dad, trying to figure out the troubleshooting for the ESPN Plus password or something like that. It was a total disaster. It really sucks when they put two teams like this who are playing a big-time college basketball game. This is part of the James Naismith Classic. This is through ESPN. This is a top 25 team versus a team who was just a perennial powerhouse last year. To put them on the paid subscription, like, that sucks. I know it's a Saturday night. I know it's right in the middle of the college football season. But that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it sucks. But like you said, like, it's in the middle of college football. They're not going to bump games, no matter, even if they're not the greatest games, because they got that contract with you know, college football, with SEC and with everybody else, that they have to play these games. So ESPN Plus is another outlet that they made so they could produce more games. But unfortunately for some people, you know, you got to pay.
I mean, you would have thought they could have might.
There were a lot of free ways to watch the game, though. People, you know, you got creative.
Well,
I mean,
which we did. wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah,
you mean, couldn't put the game on ESPN News.
ESPN U.
What did they have?
That would have had football.
Yeah, football would have been on U, I guess, two, ESPN and SEC Network. I mean, maybe they could, but, I mean, it's one game. Like, most of Tennessee's games are going to be televised. Most of them are going to be, outside of like the ones occasionally be like on alternate network throughout the season that aren't marquee matchups when they're playing, like, you know, non-conference games that aren't really anything to watch. They're because they're SEC, so they're going to be televised.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how, you know, and we talked a lot about this last week with the whole Disney Plus thing, right? You really start to see how involved Disney is in every, I mean, on multiple broadcasts over the weekend. I'm having these play-by-play basketball announcers relay to me their favorite old classic Disney movies, well, right? Like we saw it in the Tennessee game, they were plugging Disney Plus, and then we saw it in some of the other college games around the. It is kind of funny
Disney
how
Disney owns ABC, ESPN.
So how it's coming full circle, and you're like, oh my god!
Like you say,
everyone's telling me about this.
We talked about last week how many people subscribed on the first day, and the numbers keep growing. So yeah, they're going to continue to plug.
Yeah, but
it.
Like, you even forget, right, that you're like, oh, ESPN Plus. You know, it's included in the bundle, which, you know, maybe you might need as a Tennessee fan going forward. But one of the funny things is, like, you know, that's there. But when you're watching, like, a Tennessee game, you're just totally out of that space.
Yeah.
Right? And typically when you're watching a Tennessee game, you're fairly focused on that. And then they remind you, you know, on the court that that Disney Plus is streaming. And you're just like, oh, my God. Mickey Mouse owns everything. He's got his hand in all the cookie jars.
Everything.
Literally everything. But anyways, that is I guess that's a little bit of overview about the Tennessee game. We will definitely get in and start breaking that down more. Here coming up in a little while, because there were a lot of interesting storylines from that. Other than that, though, the college football world continues to turn, as does the National Football League. We will get into all the biggest storylines, all the biggest headlines from both of those leagues coming up in the show later today. And then, of course, 11:30, we have an aquatic wedding for the ages. The Life Aquatic, you ever seen that movie? This is going to be
The Life Aquatic.
Are they going to be on the water?
Ah, that'd be pretty cool. But I don't think so.
Fish is out of water.
Fish is out of water? Oh. Big stuff coming up.
He seemed pretty comfortable, though.
Back here on the Blitz, 10:20 a.m. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, and to the right by Chance Collins, as we continue on with the beginning of the show today. As I said a second ago, there's a ton of things to talk about today. From the college football world, you had a couple of huge games. Oklahoma-Baylor Saturday night was wild back and forth. Georgia-Auburn. Auburn almost with one of the great comebacks of the college football season so far. Tua. Tua's done. Tua's hurt for the year. What does that mean for Alabama and more? Jumping to college basketball. Florida loses again. What does that mean for Mike White's team? Tons of stuff happening in the NFL. The Niners absolutely crush the Caesars Sportsbook with their final second touchdown. And then last but not least, James Holzhauer reestablish himself as the GOAT of all GOATs on Jeopardy over the weekend. So there's plenty of stuff to get into. But let's talk about this. Let's go right back to the Tennessee-Washington game from this last Saturday night. Tennessee wins by a final score of 75-62. over the 20th ranked Washington Huskies. And Brandon, you made a note about this, and so I wanted to throw this to you first. You really kind of mentioned a lot last week about how important it would be for Josiah Jordan-James to really kind of expedite his process in getting acclimated with the team. The first couple of games, we saw that it was a little bit slow. Saturday night, though, that was not the case. What did you see from Josiah Jordan-James that you were impressed with enough to make that one of the main talking points of today?
Well, I mean, I think the game slowed down for him a little bit on Saturday. I mean, obviously he had a nice game. I mean, it's nothing that's going to wow you.
Well,
I mean, he had 9 points. He was 4 for 4 from the floor. One for one from three, so didn't miss a shot. Had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I thought he played really well. Again, nothing that's gonna just jump off the page at you.
Yeah.
But I think it's his best game that he's had as a Tennessee Vol. And I mean, hopefully, and this is what we talked about last week. Can we see this improve? Can he just continue to build off this from game to game?
I mean, but like with his best game as a Vol so far, like he doesn't necessarily have to do all these things. Like, you know, like with Fulkerson and I guess kind of like Pons as well, like with his playing with his back to the basket now, like they've kind of took over that role for Schofield and Williams now. And I mean, James, like you say, hopefully he comes around, but the way everybody else is playing right now, I mean, I didn't think that you'd get as much out of Fulkerson. I didn't think that you'd get as much out of Eves Pons so far.
Well, the thing about Fulkerson that I've noticed, Fulkerson is playing a lot more controlled this year than previous years. If you'll remember, like last year, he'd come off the bench and he would just be this crazy man, though, and he'd foul like crazy, and he'd be in 5 minutes and have 2 fouls.
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons for that, and I don't want to cut you off, so I'll make this really short, but I think one of the biggest reasons for that is that last year, I think there was a lot more of offensive, an offensive method that was kind of more just, hey, we're gonna certainly run some plays, or we're gonna have some ideas of what we're doing, but at the end of the day, it's gonna be Grant Williams, it's gonna be Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield finding the best shot for them. I think in this offense this year, you're seeing a lot more set plays, guys knowing exactly kind of the motions they're gonna run, who's gonna come where, and I think that is A, helping kind of control these guys, right, and kind of, you know, keeping them from a situation where, you know, you look at Fulkerson last year and it was like he's kind of running around with the chicken with his head cut off because I'm not sure he knows what to do, because at the end of the day, the shot clock's getting low and it's going to be a Jordan Bone isolation. I think in this new offense, there's a lot more set plays, and so he's obviously getting a lot more direction fed to him and thus helping him play a more efficient game all the way through.
I think he knows that he's a key piece on this team and he can't afford to foul like he did last year. He's playing smarter basketball.
Maybe he's playing smarter. I mean, maybe his basketball IQ has grown, and that just comes from maturity. I mean, this is a guy that came in with a lot of expectations because he played so well his freshman year. Then he gets hurt, and he wasn't the same the next year. Like, he could have probably set out that year after he came back. And then last year, he's more of a spark piece. I think both of you are right somewhat. I think it's more of, I mean, before, I don't even think it's about Jordan Bone, like you said, isolation. Everything was going through Grant. Grant's going to catch the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to work off of Grant. If he's either going to have a shot, he's going to drive in, you know, go strong at the rim, he's going to draw a foul, he's going to shoot his little, you know, elbow jumper, or he's going to feed the ball to somebody open. I just think now it's somewhat, yeah, he knows that he has to be more of a focal point of this team, and he must contribute, but I think it's just more to eat. Like, it wasn't enough to eat,
sure.
You know, when it's Grant and, you know, Admiral's going to get a lot of shots. And being that it was all going through Grant Williams, like, Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone and even Jordan Bowden, like, they contributed a lot, but everything was going through Grant. This was an offense centered around Grant Williams, and, you know, when you need a basket, Grant would get you that basket. Now there's more to eat around there. Eves Pons is eating. John Fulkerson's eating. Lamonte Turner, we know he's going to eat, and Jordan Bowden as well. And I think Josiah Jordan James, Triple J, is kind of coming in there and finding his role. Yes, he's a heralded, you know, touted prospect, but still at the same time, he's playing with a lot of experienced guys. And I think he's just trying to find his place to where he can contribute the most. And I think that's going to come. It's going to come for sure.
And I mean, he's as much. I mean, I don't know what his. I don't know what his ceiling is, but he's not a. I don't think he's ever going to be a prolific scorer here. He's a pass first guy. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to go off for 30 points.
I think you could see that. I just think it's early. I still think it's early. I mean, we're three games in. We still have to remember.
I don't think that's his game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He does do the little things. He distributes, like you say. He had five assists. He also had four boards. You know, the 9 points. So maybe he is the guy. He's going to be looking to pass first generally. I just think he's trying to find his way into this offense right now. And the more he gets comfortable as the season goes along, and he gets comfortable playing D1 basketball and not being always the best guy on the court like you were in high school and, you know, prep school, whatever. I think it's going to come to him. Now, could be wrong. Could very much well be wrong, and maybe that's going to be his role to get everybody the ball and to kind of take the back seat and be a, you know, just a floor general and even a change of pace guy for when he comes in. But I think it's going to come.
Well, and I think one of the interesting things about you said that didn't really kind of click with me until now is you look at this starting five for Tennessee and Fulkerson, Turner, Bowden, Pons, and Josiah James, and you're absolutely right.
Like, he's odd man out as far as chemistry too. He's odd man out. He hasn't played with these guys. They've all been familiar with each other for the last 3 years.
Right. And when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, he's not going to be, you know, one of the main ball handlers and shooters, because that's going to be Bowden and Lamonte. Like, we knew that going in. And then we were also like, well, we don't know what our big man situation is going to be, but obviously Fulkerson and Pons have established themselves as very, very serviceable big men. So now you're just kind of like, well, we got our two returning shooters, and we got our two big men. And so I think you're right. Like, he's still just trying to kind of find his role in the offense, but I have no doubt at all that that'll come, because one of the most important things that we've seen from this Tennessee offense so far, and I do want to talk about the defense as well, because I think the defense is really the bread and butter of this team. But one of the biggest things that I've seen about this offense is smart shots and not dumb shots whatsoever, right? I think what you're really seeing and what I really saw from Saturday's game is this Tennessee team passing up on iffy shots for the chance at great shots. And you see that in the final box score, right? You see Washington. Washington went 5 of 18 for three-point range for 27.8%. Tennessee was 6 of 13 for 46.2%. Tennessee shot 46.2% from three, 47.2% from the field. I mean, yes, that is good shooting, and that's good three-point shooters. When Jordan Bowden can go 3 of 5 from deep, that'll certainly help bolster that number. And then you have a couple of other guys go 1 of 2 or 1 of 1. But, man, when you are looking at these numbers, when you're looking at 6 of 13, when you're looking at both the field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage at both 46 or 47%, this Tennessee team is taking the right shots at the right time, which I think is a fantastic thing to see this early in the season.
Yeah, taking a lot of high percentage shots, and that's what you're going to do when this is a team that's going to spread the wealth generally all season. It's going to be a lot of mixed players throughout the season, I think, who are your leading scorers. I don't think it's ever going to be predominantly one guy the whole way.
And this box score was 14, 16, 18, 15, 9. Those are your starters, and then 3-0.
Can ask for a better game as a coach as far as balance and scoring.
It is. It's about as balanced as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, but now will Triple J have to play a role when you get to conference play and when you're playing some tough guards in the SEC and down the stretch? Of course he will. But maybe his role, like what you're saying, is going to be to distribute and not so much be asked to score. Is how much pressure are they putting on him to score or asking him to do? Or, you know, is it all like stay within yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. I kind of think that they are telling him to stay within himself because, you know, four shots is just four shots, but maybe they're just trying to work him in. I don't know. There's still a lot more to talk about this Tennessee game. I want to talk about the number of bench players. I want to talk about the defense. I want to talk about a lot of stuff today. If you would like to talk, go ahead and give us a call, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. Looking ahead at the week in terms of Big Orange Sports, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time from Thompson Bowling Arena. It looks like, who is this? Alabama State. Do you know the mascot? I'm sure you do.
They're either the Yellow Jackets or the Hornets. I can't remember which one.
Basically the same thing. That is correct. They're the Hornets. Alabama State comes.
Look at you, you know, the mascots.
Yes!
It's such a weird talent of his. Right?
Appy State.
Mountaineers.
Duke's curveball. Just the easy one at you.
Montana.
Grizzlies.
Montana State.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think they're the Bobcats.
North Dakota State.
No, that's easy. They're the Bison.
Ah.
The Bison. Montana
State. The green and yellow
State.
Bison.
What did you say it was?
Bobcats.
Montana State University.
Austin,
dramatic pause.
Austin Peay State University.
Governors.
Oh, thought I had you there.
The Bobcats? Are you kidding me?
You're so weird.
That's right. What?
You're so weird.
What? The Montana State Bobcats?
So you just, is it all teams or like all D1 and D2 teams or what? Like,
is it? I don't know.
Binghamton.
Ooh.
Tennessee has played them in baseball many of times.
Oh, wow. I believe they are the Bearcats.
Let's see.
Wow. There's no way. Hey, Stephen F. Austin.
Binghamton University mascot is Baxter the Bearcat.
Wow.
You sandbagging.
All right, this is my last one. Stephen F. Austin. My favorite mascot in all of the world. Wow, I think I got him.
I think you do on this one.
I think I got him. SFA.
Can I get some kind of hint?
It is obscure, and it is a job profession.
What does it start with? Because I feel like I should know this one, too. They've been in the tournament a lot.
They are... Stephen F. Holmes.
Still don't know. You gave me a hint.
Are they the Lumberjacks?
Yes!
You're so weird.
And I swear I'm staring at his computers right now, all two of them. Neither of them have anything. Total brain.
Last
power.
One, Wofford.
No, the Terriers.
Ah, hey,
come on.
Hate this guy.
It is a very weird talent. Maybe one day we'll just try to.
They had a Jeopardy for naming off mascots.
Yeah.
You'd be like that one guy.
You'd
huh?
be very good. You would be the James Holzhauer of that category. But anyways. So
yeah,
Alabama.
I thought I was cool for knowing all the capitals.
I thought I was cool for knowing all of.
Right? Yeah. I know. That's what Brandon makes you feel like.
Yikes.
There's hidden talents over there.
I do know this. Alabama State at Tennessee, Thompson Bowling Arena. That comes up 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. And then, of course, Saturday night, Tennessee takes back the gridiron as they travel to Columbia, Missouri to play the reeling Missouri Tigers, losers of four straight contests.
Four straight.
It's been tough for them.
It kind of seemed like they're going to hang around there with Florida there for a second over the weekend. They had them. Kelly Bryant made his return. They had them for a little while. You kind of would have expected Florida to win a little more handily, but Missouri just kind of ran out of steam. And, man, I know we haven't broken this down yet, fully, but that's kind of just how I see this Missouri team. Just kind of running out of steam here at the end of the year. Not really much to play for. Not a lot of good things going for you right now. Just running low on battery.
Are they... They're 5-5 too, right? So we have the same record?
They are.
Correct.
First one to win puts himself in a bowl.
Yeah, just like 3 weeks ago, they were tied for like the East lead.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good month for Missouri. I don't know. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about it, if I'm being completely honest.
Are you nervous because of the inevitable curse that we feel like we have around us, or are you worried because you just feel like Missouri is a good football team?
I think they're better than
their record shows right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think Kelly Bryant's pretty good. Look at their offense the past 4 weeks. Past 4 weeks, the most points they've scored is 14. They've scored 14, and that was against Vanderbilt.
6-0-7-14.
We only scored 14 the last 4 weeks. Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be nervous, but I don't know. I am.
I'll tell you this. I think the biggest X factor maybe not even X factor. I think the biggest factor against Tennessee right now is the conditions. I think that on paper and I think on the field, we have seen Tennessee be a significantly better team than the product that Missouri is putting out right now. Right, Missouri loses four straight. Tennessee is what, 4-1 in their last five contests, something like that. You have a team who's 4-1 in their last five and 1-4 in their last five, including 0-4 in their last four. So I think that on the field and on paper, Tennessee's a better team. That doesn't really worry me too much. What does worry me is a night game, an SEC East game, a bowl trip on the line for both teams. Missouri wouldn't have one. So that's not on the line for them. So this is on the line for you. It's going to be freezing cold over there at Memorial Stadium. There's a lot of things on the line, but I think the conditions are really kind of the biggest obstacle that Tennessee is going to have to face. I don't really think that the Missouri team as a whole should concern you a ton. Now, maybe Kelly Bryant, certainly. Kelly Bryant has...
Well, last week was his first week back.
Yeah.
I think he went down in the Kentucky game, got hurt, missed the Georgia game, and then obviously we were just telling you the scores, they got shut out against Georgia. But then he comes back against Florida this past week and goes 25 for 39, 204 yards and an interception.
Which, all things considered, in the middle of a 23-6 loss, it's not bad, right? Like, he could have folded.
Not good.
But he could have folded a lot worse. Like, I think the team certainly was the reason for that loss, not as much Kelly Bryant. So, like, if there's one guy in particular that I'm really trying to watch out for on Missouri, it's still Kelly Bryant, of course. But the rest of it, if Tennessee goes out there and we play the way that Tennessee has been playing, then I don't have a ton of issues or a ton of worry about this game.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't either. I mean, I feel like our defense has been playing pretty good, and if they continue to play at that level, I think we'll be fine. I mean, Kentucky put up 29 points on Missouri with Lynn Bowden,
who we held, I think, to like 7 total yards. Obviously not that minimal, but I think certainly that is through the air. I don't know, man. I'm excited for this game. Like, I think this game is going to be fun. And the other thing that I'm looking at is, okay, say, for whatever reason, Tennessee goes down there. Say maybe it's just not our night, right? Somebody key gets injured. Maybe it's not even a long-term injury. But they're out that game. A couple things don't go your way. A couple bounces are extremely lucky for Missouri. Say they win. Is this the end of the world?
If we lose to Missouri?
Yeah.
No.
No. It's all right. Because then you're sitting there, 5-6. And I know that everyone's kind of got the expectation for 7-5 right now. And you know what? I do too. I absolutely have the expectation for 7-5. But man, even if we lose and we still have Vanderbilt for the opportunity at the bowl win or at the bowl game, which I know in the past we've been like, oh my God, nightmare scenario is having to beat Vanderbilt to go to a bowl. That's not the nightmare situation for me right now by a long shot. Right? I'm not really worried about that. I feel good about where Tennessee is over Vanderbilt right now.
I'd much rather go ahead and get it taken care of this week, though.
But yes, obviously, I certainly agree. But at the end of the day, I actually can sleep a little bit easier this week knowing that we still have that mulligan in our back pocket. Would we love to not use it? Yeah, absolutely. But we still got that mulligan in our back pocket. Now, I'll sleep much easier next week if we do have a win, and we won't ever really kind of need it for certain, but hey, you still got it. We'll use it if we need it. Anyways, big stuff in college football happening all over the place yesterday. In the Big 12, you had the Saturday night game. Baylor just coming out on a absolute tear, making Jalen Hurts and company look fairly pedestrian until they weren't. Oklahoma comes back. Huge game there. As we mentioned a second ago, Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
I blame you.
For what?
For Baylor.
What happened to... Why?
Because...
What could have happened to Baylor that I caused?
They lost.
So?
You picked him?
Well, he did pick him.
I did pick him.
But...
Which for a while there was looking like a hell of a pick.
I'm home and it's late. Rick's going to bed. I go to my room and we just talked about how Baylor was whooping up on Oklahoma. Rick was talking trash. And then I look at my phone about 10, 15 minutes later. I text Rick, "Hey, Baylor lost."
Yeah.
Rick thought they had won.
Yeah, I am fake
Rick,
news.
Rick was talking like they had won.
25-point comeback.
Fake news.
Oklahoma's a good team. Baylor's also a very good team. Be interested to see how that plays out, if Oklahoma can make a push to try to get themselves in the playoff if some dominoes fall.
Much more on the Blitz coming up after this.
No, Sugar Hill Gang, rapper. Uh-huh. Big Bang Hank died this weekend.
R.I.P.
Oh, R.I.P. Yeah.
This guy, 58 years old, cancer.
Wow.
Gone too soon.
R.I.P. to a great one.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to this song probably 1,000 times. Chance, I did this song, me.
In a, like, talent show?
And, yeah, in a high school choir performance.
I can see you doing it. I still remember you have a Waffle House rap.
I do. That is tucked away in the back pocket.
I've heard it.
I also do a mean Swiper Boy impression.
Uh-oh.
Let's head over to the phone lines. Take a call from Titans Bill. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning. What is all this negative nonsense I'm hearing out of you guys?
Negative?
Tennessee is going to win that game.
Well, you're damn right.
You heard it here from me.
I just said I was just a little nervous about it.
There ain't nothing for you to be nervous about. Nothing.
Nothing, Brandon. Huh? What you scared of? Scared getting Titans Bill's pocket. That's what he said.
It's like the bottom line. You are the same people that said, "Boy, look out for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to win that. They're going to win that AFC North division." Who's in first? And I said to you, it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. And guess what?
I don't know if you said that.
Yes, I did.
We'll roll with it. I don't know if you said that. We're not going to give you an "I told you so."
Yes, I did. And you were the ones that drank that Browns Kool-Aid.
You're damn
we
right
weren't
we
the
did.
Only one.
Yeah, you're damn right we did, along with like half of the country.
And that Kool-Aid doesn't taste good now, does it, gentlemen? No.
Trust me, but at the same time, I'm the first one just spit out the Browns Kool-Aid the second it didn't taste good.
Coming on here on a Monday morning puffing out his chest. What the hell is this about?
We gotta go.
I mean, they are coming off a win against the Steelers. I mean, they're still in the playoffs.
And also, I'll tell you, Myles Garrett got what he deserved. The one thing you don't do,
he got
don't give yourself a bad name.
I think
and
his
that's
name's
what
pretty
Myles
good.
Garrett did. Gave himself a bad name.
I think that would be on his mom if he did a bad
would
name.
Say it's more important to not give love a bad name.
Yeah, and on another note,
a little flustered there,
they,
a little
the Vols know what kind of embarrassment that Missouri gave them last year, and they haven't forgot. It's the same way with the Titans when they played Jacksonville on a Thursday night in their place. They embarrassed them. And this coming Sunday, it's going to be a different story. They are due to bust out, and they are due to get a very big win. And they will do it, like our volunteers will, this coming Saturday. And you heard it here from your good friend, Titans Bill. So knock off the negative nonsense, guys.
Take off the bat. Point it toward the right field bleachers.
We said good day, sir. Thank
and
you,
And call
Titans
your
Bill.
Shot.
Titans Bill said good day. Good day. Did Titans Bill just come on here and try to cut a promo on us?
I think so. I didn't feel like I was being that negative. I feel like I've been much more negative than that.
Nah. If he won the Browns, that was pretty funny.
Okay. Yeah, hey. We tell you when you're negative. Don't like, worry. I feel like you're not that bad right
I
now.
I feel like I have been much more. I mean, maybe it's just... I mean, comparatively to the other things, that don't seem negative, but I don't know.
No, I think Titans Bill just, he's come on here to make somebody eat some crow.
Guys, we are 30 minutes away from the first ever wedding, radio wedding in fan-run radio history. Are you guys getting kind of nervous? Are you navigating traffic? Are you trying to find your seats in the pews?
Chance, are you giving a best man speech?
Yeah.
You sure, are? Okay, sure. Good.
Sure.
Good. This is great. This is fantastic. Has anybody talked to Weston recently?
Nope.
No.
Okay, none
Sounds
of us
about
have.
Right.
That's
We
fantastic.
Should probably check on him.
We probably should.
Maybe. What if he got cold feet?
Oh.
I see what you did there. He's in Colorado. Where it's cold, right?
I mean, I would assume it's cold. I don't know.
I don't think that's what he was doing, though.
It's wedding season next hour on The Blitz.